welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and get started this morning, and we're just going to be picking up on a message that we've been kind of ministering along the lines of for the last few Sundays. I don't know if if my thing is working or not, but I'll double check. I might need some help back there. I'm not sure. Did you say?
I hit the top of the
button. Okay, there you go. All right, thank you, Mona. Looking at just kind of a passage of scripture, picking up from actually a few weeks ago, we're just kind of talking about walking in the Spirit. And this comes right out of Galatians 5, where the Apostle Paul says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." And so we've been kind of talking about, again, a little bit, if you want some more context, last Sunday, and then I think it was the two Sundays before that, we've just started a series on walking in the steps of the Spirit. And all of our messages are online, so you're welcome to go online and see the other messages if you need a little more context. But we're going to continue to go this morning from that theme, from that heart. And so we looked at this last week to see about how, walking in the Spirit, we started out by saying, can be a little, mystifying. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It's kind of, ooey gooey. How do I know when I'm doing it? How do I know when I'm not doing it? And so we talked about it in the sense of walking in the Spirit is just like taking a walk in the natural. What is a walk? A walk is nothing more than a series of steps. And so when you're taking steps, you are walking. And when you're walking, you don't take all the steps at once. You take them one at a time. And to begin to think that way when it comes to walking in the Spirit, you're just going to be taking a step in the Spirit. And after that, you take another step. And like we said, too, a lot of times we'll think of whether I'm walking in the Spirit means whether I'm having my morning devotion time. And if I'm doing it consistently, then I'm walking in the Spirit. But that's really not what walking in the Spirit is. Walking, a devotion time would be like a step in the Spirit. But like I said, too, when I've got my Fitbit, my Fitbit doesn't just keep track of my steps when I'm on a walk. It keeps track of my steps throughout my day. So stepping isn't something that I'm just doing at a workout time. It's something that's part of my whole life. And so we begin to broaden what we think of walking in the Spirit apart from just that devotion time. It's important, it's good, it's valuable, but really living for God, it's more beautiful than just the devotion time. It's your whole life. It steps throughout your whole day. So we said really walking in the Spirit, it's just that. It's a series of these steps. Last week we looked, though, at the idea of not just walking in the Spirit also, but it goes on to say in verse 18, but if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And so those two thoughts are really, there's a continuity of thought, those two gold phrases there, between walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. In other words, they just go hand in hand. So when I'm walking in the Spirit, when I'm taking these steps in the Spirit, this isn't just something that I'm doing for God. I'm, reading my Bible and praying and doing all these things in a way that I'm doing it as my service, a performance for God in that sense. Like we said, in the Old Testament, it was like that. In the Old Testament, you had the law. And the Bible says that we're not serving in the oldness of the letter anymore. We're serving in a newness of spirit. In the oldness of the letter, it was very performance-based. You were dotting your I's, crossing your T's, doing your do's, not doing your don'ts. Here, it's different. Now we're walking in the Spirit to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Our whole way of thinking is different. Right now we're living to walk in the Spirit. And like we said, we don't walk in an oldness. We're walking in a newness. And how is that different? How do we transition from performance duty to this newness of the Spirit? If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. In other words, there's a connection here between walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. So being led by the Spirit is what makes it so different. It makes it so unique. In other words, I'm taking steps in the Spirit, but I'm also listening in the Spirit. I'm being led by the Spirit. So as I'm walking in the Spirit, in other words, I'm not walking alone, I'm walking with the Spirit. All right? I don't walk in the Spirit independent of the Spirit. I walk in the Spirit with the Spirit. That's an important distinction. Because when you're walking here, you're all very alone. Under the law, it was very lonely. Here, it's not lonely. The things that I'm doing for God, I'm doing with God. So there's a sense of the presence of the Spirit in the things that I do as I'm walking in the Spirit, as I'm living for God. That's part of the distinction of the newness of the Spirit. So we looked last week at a few things as far as what that looks like. This week, we're going to just simply be looking at Spirit-led steps. I'm just kind of rehash a little bit. We talked about steps of truth. That's really what we talked about last week, how when you begin to walk in the Spirit and you're listening for the Spirit of God will lead you in different ways into the Word of God. He'll guide you into all truth. He'll guide you into the Word in such a way that will open your heart to the Word, to receive the Word, and give you ears to hear what the Word of God is saying. It can be to correct you, to encourage you, to build you up. He can begin to show you things as it relates to, walking free from different areas of the flesh and whatnot. So that's what we kind of looked at last week, how the Word of God works that way as you're being led by the Spirit of God. So this morning, we're going to get into another area, which I'm calling steps of fellowship. And so I'm just going to kind of preface it with this right now. If you've been around Door of Life very long, you've heard a lot of 2-point and 3-point sermons, all right? And that's kind of my way, the way I roll, the way I think, the way I, just kind of minister the Word of God. And every minister, every preacher kind of has their own style, their own way of doing things. But I've really felt kind of checked just by the Lord for this particular series to really slow down. So, yes, we've got some points this morning, but we're going to get as far as we're going to get, And we're just going to take it Sunday by Sunday, and we're going to be led by the Spirit of God as we go through the message of being led by the Spirit of God. Because sometimes you just need to take a little bit longer with certain things. And I don't always know what that is until I get up here on a Sunday morning. And it's great, because the Spirit of God knows, where we need to spend a little time. So this is going to be, it's a series, yeah, it's kind of a journey slash series. And like I've said, too, a lot of times at Door of Life, I don't even necessarily like series because I feel so locked in. And so what'll happen is I'll preach a message, and then I'll preach the next message the next Sunday, and I'll think, man, those are kind of similar messages, And it's like a series. And so then I'll realize that, yeah, God's doing a series. He's doing something. So, that's kind of what's happened here, too. And I do realize that this is going to be something that we're going to spend a few weeks on, and we're going to really walk through this idea of walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit of God, because this is where we live, and this is where our walk with the Lord can get traction. So this morning, we're going to be looking at another aspect of being led by the Spirit as it relates to steps of fellowship. This is a big part. We kind of got into this a little bit toward the end of the service last week. But the scripture says in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, which is what we're talking about. That's a big deal. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And we see here in 1 John, he puts it this way, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, which is the same thing as walking in the Spirit, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we see in the that bar in the middle, the top two verses represent somebody who's walking in the light. When you're walking according to the Spirit, there's no condemnation, and there is fellowship with God, and there's just a cleansing from all sin. All this stuff just happens. I don't make it happen. I'm just taking a step. I'm just doing my step in the light. I'm doing my step in the Spirit. While I'm doing my step, I'm doing it from a place of no condemnation, and within that step, there's fellowship, and there's an automatic cleansing. It's an amazing thing. So when you look at that idea, no condemnation, how could there be no condemnation? Are you saying you're perfect? Is anybody walking sinless perfection? If walking in sinless perfection was required for no condemnation, then nobody could ever walk with no condemnation. I don't care how strong your walk with the Lord is, you're not walking in sinless perfection. And yet you can walk in no condemnation. I heard a great example of this once. Joyce Meyer was ministering, and she was just talking about her early days as a Christian. Now, if you know much about her backstory, raised in an extremely abusive home, horribly abusive father, just kind of the worst you could imagine, all right? That was her background. And she heard the gospel one day as a young lady and got saved and heard that God loved her. And she was so excited, you know. Her natural father didn't love her, but she had a heavenly father who loved her. And it just turned her life around. And she wanted the whole world to know about God and his love. And so one of the first things that she did was she started a Bible study right away with her friends in the neighborhood. And she said, and she kind of laughs and rolls her eyes, I can still see myself. There we were, sitting around. This is probably just a few weeks after she got saved, sitting around in a circle with our short shorts, smoking cigarettes, telling each other the great things we were getting from the Word of God. Now, you might look at that and say, oh, but that's walking in the light. Walking in the light as he has been light is walking in the light you have. There's no condemnation there. None. Zero. Now, would the smoke from those cigarettes still have an impact on our lungs? Sure, it would. But no condemnation. You understand? You don't have the pressure of perfection on you to have no condemnation. You're just walking in the light that you know. Now, of course, later, as she grew spiritually and realized some things, yeah, she made some of those Spirit-led adjustments for the sake of her health and her life and, you know, just those things. But you don't start out, you know, when you're born again, you're not born again a full-grown adult. You're born again a baby. And you grow up spiritually. And God knows that. And he gives us grace to grow up. So no condemnation. Again, it's not this place of perfection where I'm perfectly sanctified in every way. No, I'm just walking in the light as he's in the light. My heart's toward God. I know I'm not perfect, but God, I want you. I'm taking steps in the light. There's no condemnation when you're taking those steps in the light. What is there? There's fellowship there, and there's this automatic cleansing from all sin. Now let's look at the bottom side. Let's look at the flip side of that. If we say we have fellowship with him, okay, and we are truly walking in darkness. In other words, my steps are not steps in the light. I'm taking steps in the darkness. But we've all done both sides of this, so you know, we're walking in the darkness, and we know we're walking. We're not taking steps in the light. We're still believers. We're still Christians. It's not that we're forsaking God, but we're walking in darkness. It says we lie and don't practice the truth. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when I'm walking, I could either walk in the light or I could walk in the darkness. If I'm walking in the darkness, I have to stop and be honest that I'm walking in the dark. How am I honest? By confessing my sin. When I'm confessing my sins, I'm basically declaring, I am walking in darkness right now, and it is wrong. So I'm turning around, and I'm saying, Father, I have said it, I did it, those were steps in darkness. Please forgive me and cleanse me according to your word. I thank you for it. Now here's the deal. No matter how long you've been walking in this direction, I don't care if you're walking in this direction for years. The moment you turn, you are now walking in the light. Just as much as somebody who's been walking in the light for years. You have that in common with them. You're both walking in the light. All right? This is not a, you know, a status thing or a credential thing. It's a grace thing. And I'm turning around, and now I'm walking in the light as he is in the light. And something changes. When I'm walking here, my heart, the scripture says, when a man's ways aren't pleasing to the Lord, his heart fruits against the Lord. And that's the way it is when we're walking in darkness. It's like, ugh, Lord, you know, it's like we want to have our cake and eat it too, and we just know there's something not right. And at some point, we have to turn and say, okay, clean break, but now I'm walking in the light. I don't have fellowship over here. I have frustration. It's lonely, isolated over here. But as soon as I turn, now there's fellowship. And you see what happens there? The blood of his son cleanses us from all sin. On that top part, when I'm walking in the light, his blood is just cleansing me from all sin. I'm not living in sinless perfection. I'm just walking in the light. The difference is automatically cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I live in a state of righteousness. My righteousness is a gift. We talk about it all the time, but we don't always understand what we mean by it even. We understand that salvation's a gift. Yeah, it is a gift. I'm going to heaven because of the gift of salvation. I'm walking in the light. I'm walking in righteousness as a gift too. I'm not just going to heaven as a gift. I'm able to walk down here in a place of righteousness as a gift as well. As many as received the gift of righteousness, we've received that gift. What happens? When I'm going in the dark side, walking in the dark, and I do confess my sins, he cleanses me from all unrighteousness. How much unrighteousness is left then? None. He restores the blood, restores me back to that place of righteousness. Like we said last week, there's not much difference between a little condemnation or a lot of condemnation when you're trying to be led by the Spirit of God. It's going to distract you. But there's a huge difference between even just a little condemnation and absolutely no condemnation. The blood cleansing you from all unrighteousness restores you back to a place of no condemnation, walk, where you can hear and be led by the Spirit of God again. I'm not gauging that by perfect victory over everything in my life. Do you understand? I can be struggling with things in my life. I'm struggling and I'm choosing steps of the flesh, but I'm saying, no, Lord, I'm sorry, I confess that, and I'm not free perfectly. I've still got things that are plaguing me, but what I am doing is I'm confessing it, I'm receiving forgiveness, and I'm taking a step in the Spirit. And I'm taking another step in the Spirit. As long as I'm doing that, there's no condemnation here. And there's fellowship here. Now, am I going to have temptation along this way to turn back in? Absolutely. And we'll get more into that in a little bit. But first things first, you got to realize that when you're walking in this place of Spirit-led, you're walking in a place of no condemnation, not because you're perfectly free, but because you've decided, I'm going after you. My heart is toward you. Like Joyce Meyer in that Bible study, all right? Her heart was to tell everyone about Jesus. That was her heart. And yeah, did she have some things that she was cleaning up and growing up spiritually? Sure. We all have those things. You know, whether, you know, she's described as the short shorts and the cigarettes, but we all have versions of that that we're still growing through in our own life. We haven't arrived today. We're still growing. Have you ever realized that and kind of looked back in your life spiritually and said, whoa, I can't believe I did that or I could watch that or I could do that and... Well, thank you for staying. Thanks for staying with me, God. You know, we all feel that as we're growing up spiritually. And, you know, that's an important... But no condemnation all along the way as we're growing up. It's not like you're condemned as a baby. You're not condemned as a baby or as a one-year-old or as a two-year-old. You're just growing and going in that direction. So that's an important thing to distinguish. Now, I will say this too. Whether you find yourself walking in the light or walking in the darkness... There's always a next step that both people always have. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. Now, if I'm walking in the darkness, I'm coming boldly before that throne of grace. I'm confessing my sin to what? Obtain mercy and forgiveness and cleansing from all unrighteousness. Praise God. If I'm walking in the light already, I'm still coming boldly before that throne of grace. Maybe I don't need mercy, but I need grace to help. What do I do next? What do I say next? To see that throne of grace, because here's the reality. A lot of our Christian walk, our heart is to walk in this way. And we deal with things, we struggle with things that get us walking back in the other direction. And then we love God and we get back walking in this direction. And so it can feel a little bit back and forth sometimes with our good intentions and stuff like that. But it's always important to know that no matter where we're at, no matter what direction you're going, you always have a throne of grace. There's mercy to get you turned around, and there's grace to help you along your way. That, to me, the throne of grace has been one of the most stabilizing factors in living for God, to know that I can always come here. I can always come here. If I'm walking that direction, I can come here. If I'm walking this direction, I can come here. He has everything that we need to get us on track. If it's going in that direction, to turn us around. And if we're already going in that right direction, to show us what we need along the way. So there's that next step. Here's the other piece, though, that I want to get across as far as the fellowship goes. And we're going to look at this verse in two different translations. Matthew chapter 11, the New King James puts it this way. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And here's the message. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy and ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Praise God. I love that. I love that translation of that particular passage, because it really, to me, that language, that verbiage really shows and communicates kind of the heart of what we're finding here. And what are these? These are steps of fellowship. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. This is where I've gotten it wrong, I will say, in trying to walk in the Spirit through the years. This has been my big mistake. I've understood a lot of the theology of this and have understood what it's like to get it wrong and receive forgiveness and get back on the right track and then live for God. But one thing that I have done is that a lot of times when I'm trying to live for God, I put pressure on myself to have to feel inspired all the time, to have to feel close to God all the time, to have to feel His presence all the time, that I have to feel it or there's something wrong. And then I'm feeling condemned. But there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We're walking in a place where there is no condemnation. And a big part of realizing not only is there no condemnation as I'm walking in the Spirit in these steps of fellowship, but there's no pressure. There's no pressure. The religious pressure that we just instinctively put on ourselves, it's amazing, you know, how you can experience that. But let's just say, for example, I love how, you know, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, learn of me. I'm gentle, I'm lowly in heart. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And the way the message puts it, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's a place of fellowship. It's a place where you're just able to come out here, and I need to take a step in the Spirit. And like we said, there's so many different ways you can take a step in the Spirit. You can read your Bible, you can pray, you can worship, you can fellowship, you can just obey a specific thing the Lord's told you to do, you could give. There's a lot of different outreaches and ways you can take that step that are just really wonderful and great. And so sometimes this is, again, where I've been. It's like, what do I do next? Do I pray? Do I read my Bible? And I feel like I've got the pressure of needing to discern that next step. that I got to discern it as I'm being led by the Spirit of God. What does he say? Learn of me, I'm gentle and lowly in heart. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. A lot of times it almost feels like, I don't know if you remember, some of you might remember the old game show. I can't remember what it was, but it was like door number one, door number two, door number three. Was that the Price is Right that did that? Let's make a deal? Okay. Let's make a deal. So you had to guess, and because behind one of those doors was the great big prize, you know, to Europe, and behind the other door, you'll see like a goat, you know, buying or something. Oh, man. But you got to get the right door. And sometimes you can feel a little bit like that. What next? I don't feel anything. I got nothing, you know, here. I want to live for God, and I don't even feel inspired. This is the beautiful thing. You have the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus puts no prerequisite on you to have to feel inspired about anything. You don't have to get up or hyped or anything at all for the Spirit of God to work on your behalf. There's no pressure. He just says, come unto me. And so what I would do is, is it door number one? Do I pray? Do I read? What should I do next? It's like, it's all good, and you know, but I just, you know, and I don't want to get it wrong. You know, if I really should just be worshiping, or should I be fellowshipping, or should I be helping a person in their neighborhood, or, you know, all these things, and you can feel trapped sometimes. And I love the example of the Apostle Paul, because the Apostle Paul did have a let's make a deal experience on his second missionary journey. He was going. He's doing for God. He's living for God. And all of a sudden, he could go to Bithynia, he could go to Asia Minor, or he could go to Macedonia. Door number one, door number two, door number three. And Paul goes, I think it's door number one. So he goes to Bithynia. And the scripture says, and the Spirit said, nope, it's not Bithynia. Oh, okay, I'm going to go to Asia Minor. And the scripture says, the Spirit said, nope, it's not Asia Minor. And then all of a sudden, he's waiting out, and the Spirit gives Paul a dream, says, come to Macedonia. It's Macedonia. But when he tried to go to Bithynia, and that wasn't it. That wasn't it. But you want to know what? No condemnation for trying to go to Bithynia. No condemnation for trying to go to Asia Minor. Part of being led by the Spirit is a fellowship with the Spirit where you're just feeling your way through some stuff. I've had that happen. I know I should probably read the Bible right now. And I'm going, and I'm just like slugging because I should read the Bible because I know all the good things that the Bible can do. And then I'll just stop and listen. And I'm thinking, worship. And a lot of times what will happen for me when I'm just being led by the Spirit and there's no pressure, I just start praying. I'll just start talking to God from my heart. Lord, just help me to know what it is. You know, help me to know what it is. You know, there's so many different great ways I can, you know, steps I can take. Lord, just guide me by your Spirit. Show me whatever that is. But I just want to talk to you from my heart a little bit, what's going on, and, you know, just begin to know that this is a living fellowship relationship with God. It's not a performance. It's a walking in the Spirit with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. It's an unforced rhythm of grace. And I've had that where I've just turned on a little, sometimes I'll just turn on a little music or just begin to talk to the Lord or something, and all of a sudden, just one thought will lead to another thought, will lead to another thought, and pretty soon I'm doing things. You know, maybe I'm just starting to talk, and all of a sudden I just feel, as I'm talking to the Lord, I'll remember a song, and I'll put that song on. As I'm listening to that song, I get stirred up in the Word or something. It doesn't, that can be a way that it can flow, but it's a flow. And when we try to feel like we have to know, instead of learning the unforced rhythms of grace, we try to force the rhythm of grace. We don't have to force it. We can listen and we can flow. This is a fellowship. We're walking in the Spirit with the Spirit, and these are steps of fellowship that we're taking along the way. And as we're doing it, it really is a beautiful thing. To me, this is huge. What we're going to get into next week, we're going to look at the power of the Spirit and how the power of the Spirit can break things off your life that you've had for years. I think of that scripture when Moses and the Hebrew children were under the bondage of the Egyptians for 430 years. And they crossed the Red Sea, And as that, you know, Moses tells the Hebrew children, he said, these Egyptians who've oppressed you for all these years, you will never see again. That power is completely broken off your life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes you free from the law of sin and death. I can't make myself free from the law of sin and death, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus can make me free from the law of sin and death. What I can do is I can take a step in the Spirit. As I take a step in the Spirit, the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus works with that step, and things begin to happen. So this week, I just really want to set that context. We're all learning. We're all growing. Wherever we might be on the spiritual growth chart, one thing we all have in common is no condemnation wherever you're at. The heart of God in this walk in the Spirit, go the direction of the Spirit. Just begin to take those steps and just begin to rest in those steps, and don't, no condemnation, right? There is no condemnation when I'm just walking that direction. If I'm not walking that direction, I receive forgiveness and cleansing. Cleansed, no condemnation. Come before the throne of grace, get whatever I need, and realize that as I'm doing that, there is no pressure here. I can really take my time and relax. And this is why Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And this is where I've made that burden heavy. I've made it. When you put all this emotional expectation of having to feel it all the time, that's a heavy yoke. I'm glad when I have great feelings. I'm glad when the feelings come. But, you know, it's not a walk of emotions. It's a walk in the Spirit. You're walking in the Spirit. The emotions will come later. The emotions are the caboose, and it's great when you experience them. But you're being led by the Spirit of God. And you're taking those steps, and it's a beautiful thing. But as we're doing this, we're doing it from a place of no pressure, no condemnation. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus this morning that as we just can take another step on this journey of walking in the Spirit and walking in the steps of the Spirit, that each one of us realize your amazing love for us, that you know right where we're at spiritually. You know our maturity. You know everything about us. And Lord, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that as we just come before you this morning, that we allow ourselves to see that we're loved by you right where we're at, even as we love our own children, wherever they're at, whatever they're going through, we love them, we're for them, you're for us, you love us. Lord, we let that love in this morning. We allow ourselves to see ourselves loved by you. No condemnation, that you sent Jesus, that blood doesn't just cleanse us when we confess it, but there's a cleansing that we experience when we're just taking those steps in the light, that you're just maintaining that clear conscience toward you, that we don't have to be perfect, but that we just make that step in your direction, and you honor our heart. Hallelujah. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. You're meek, you're lowly in heart. Help us, Lord, to learn of you, to learn those unforced rhythms, to learn the way you are toward us, to not be uptight religiously, to not be uptight, to feel like we got to grow up overnight. We don't have to. We can just take one step at a time. We can just grow up very natural, supernaturally, normally, the way you want us to. No pressure. Father, I pray that we'd receive that this morning. Give ourselves that room and that grace that you give us, that your love gives us, Father God, that your throne of grace gives us, Father. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. You know, I just sense that step is very important, especially as we go into some of the other steps that we talk about, because as you're going into things and overcoming things, everything comes back to this context. It's like, oh yeah, it wasn't about my... So as I'm overcoming sin in my life and something happens, it's like, oh yeah, it wasn't about my perfection anyway. Praise God. I'm just taking steps and I'm overcoming, you know, but to come back to that place, that safe place, praise God. You know, sometimes I'll just say, you know, kids getting ready to leave college, you go for leave for college and things like that. It's kind of cool. You come back home and it's like, I'm back home again. Yeah, there's this kind of this place where people get me and they know me, and you know, this is home when you're walking in the Spirit. You're putting yourself out there, but there's your home. There's a place that God knows you, loves you, gets you. It's a place of fellowship, a safe place. Praise God.